Our next speaker is Paul Abernathy. Let me get out of the sun here. Is my fourth brother. Okay, he is in Pittsburgh, my hometown. And Pittsburgh, you're at St. George in Bridgeville, member there. That's my mother's home parish. So that's another connection. Working in the Hill District with a group called FOCUS, the Fellowship of Orthodox Christians United to Serve. And the Hill District is where my dad was born. And that history was interesting in that when he was growing up in the 30s into the 40s, late 20s, it was Jewish, it was some Arabs, Italians, and Poles. I think we're the four primary, is that?
And African American
in that era. And Paul is working in what is a very close part of the inner city, close to downtown. And some of my family members I know have been active with you, my nephews and my brother. And we're hoping that you'll enlighten us on not only the work you're doing, but share with us some insights, as Catherine did, as to how we can continue to develop our work here.
Urban ministry. That is the topic at hand. Urban ministry. We can't think of that topic without also bringing to mind those images urban ministry conjures, because urban ministry conjures images of urban problems. Brothers and sisters, we must be honest about the problems that are facing our urban communities around us. We must be honest about the role in which we're played to call in helping addressing those problems that are right at our doorstep. Brothers and sisters, we must think about those persons around us who are struggling with addiction, who are struggling with poverty, who are struggling from violence, who are struggling with, most of all, brokenheartedness. In fact, what characterizes American poverty, I believe, more than anything else, is brokenheartedness. And brothers and sisters, we must examine how it is that an Orthodox ministry is called to help address those urban problems. There are programs. There are ministries, but we are called to an Orthodox Christian ministry to address those problems. And we are charged to ask the question, how then is an Orthodox ministry different in addressing those problems? Do we see the world a different way? Do we have a different experience of life? Do we have a different set of references in dealing with the issues that we face in our personal lives? We do. We do. We do. And we must first and foremost be honest about that. And we must be who we are in addressing these problems. You know, we remember in the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter, where the Lord looks out on the masses. Scripture says, and he has compassion on them because they are weary and they are lost as those having no shepherd. So the Lord commands his disciples to pray. He says there are not enough laborers in the Lord's vineyard. We must pray that the Lord of harvest send more laborers into his harvest. And so they pray. And the Lord brings forth the apostles to minister. And the Lord sends them forth, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, preaching a gospel of hope to the poor. The Lord sends them forth, but it all begins with prayer. The Lord says, pray that the Lord of harvest send laborers into the harvest. Well, we are called to pray, brothers and sisters, and I can tell you that there are Orthodox Christians all across our great nation that are now praying that more laborers be sent into his vineyard for his harvest. That is what's happening in our day. People are praying for that. But not only Orthodox Christians are praying for that. There are many who live not too far from this church, I believe, who are suffering from brokenheartedness. Most of us live on bread. Most of us live on the paychecks that we receive from our jobs. Most of us live on the comfort that our houses provide. But we must remember that there are many people in our nation. There are many people in our communities that are not living on bread because they don't know where their next meal is coming from. They are not living on cash because they have no jobs. They are not living in the comfort of a home because they have no home. Brothers and sisters, they are living on prayer. Yes, they are praying. The prayers of the brokenhearted are at work right now. And there are people around us in our own communities who spend their days on their knees praying to the Lord with tears running down their face. And we know, just as Scripture teaches us, that the Lord looks upon them and that he hears their prayers, that laborers be sent into the vineyard, and that the Lord responds to their prayers by raising up laborers and sending them into the vineyard to minister to the very people who are asking so dearly for that assistance. I was thinking on the way up here, who it might be who was praying for this retreat to take place just across the street. There is not a doubt in my mind that it is the prayers of the faithful and the prayers of the brokenhearted in concert with one another that have brought us together tonight, because the Lord is raising up laborers to send out into his harvest. In Pittsburgh, we have had an abundant experience in the Holy Spirit with this ministry. When we began this journey to minister to the poor and the brokenhearted, to do this as Orthodox Christians, we weren't quite sure what it would look like or what it would mean. We didn't quite know how it would be different than other ministries or other social programs. We did not know. There was a great deal of apprehension. There was fear. There was uncertainty. All of it was before us. But we knew that we were called. We were called to join together. We were called to move forward in the spirit of the gospel and establish a ministry, an Orthodox Christian ministry among the poor, among the brokenhearted. Father Paul's brother, can remember Brian Albert, in these dark days. I can remember what he told me. He had come to this ministry from the very beginning. He had thrown himself completely into this. And his sons and his daughter and his wife followed after him. But he had thrown himself into this ministry. And we were having a conversation about facilities. You know, where will we establish this presence? Where will we do this? Especially considering the Hill District has a reputation. I mean, it was a question, will Orthodox Christians even go into the heart of the community? Most said no. They were wrong. But we were having a conversation, and Brian said something that I found to be very true. Brian said, say your prayers. Keep a good heart, and it will all work out the way it's supposed to. Say your prayers. and keep a good heart, and it will all work out the way it's supposed to. Those were his words. Those were his words in days of darkness that began to guide my mind. Guide my mind, especially at every obstacle that we faced moving into this ministry. And so we did. And what we quickly found out is that it was not we who were building this ministry, but the Holy Spirit was the architect of this ministry. He was building this ministry, and that the persons he had called to it and were working through to establish this ministry were the very bricks, the very foundation that he was laying in Christ to minister to the poor. We learned where our heart truly was. We learned that as Orthodox Christians, our heart was with the early church. We learned when we started this ministry how much like them gone before us we truly were. We learned that those icons that we spent days venerating in the beauty of the church's services were not just pictures of history. We know, of course, they're not theologically, but that those scenes come to life in this world right here and right now. Because it is the same God who is working now in this world, who was working in the apostolic days. I often think of that icon of the Holy and Mercenaries and what it meant to me before we started this ministry, this picture of Christian physicians who were ministering medicine unto the poor. I remember I was speaking at winter camp at Antiochian Village this past winter, and one of the children came forward and asked me about an Orthodox deacon who also happened to be a doctor, who also happened to be a physician. And the boy was speaking about his diaconate and his service as a doctor as though there was a dichotomy between the two. How can you be a deacon on Sunday and a doctor on Monday? Shouldn't you be one or the other? The boy wondered. We had a conversation about that. We had a conversation about how that deacon who served as a deacon in the liturgy continued to serve on Monday when he went to work, and that his ministry as a physician was an extension, an expression of his diaconate. That he was not a deacon on Sunday and a physician on Monday. He was a deacon on Sunday and a deacon serving as a physician on Monday. We learned that this was the way of the early church. That we saw that icon of the Holy and Mercenaries who recognized that they had gifts to minister to the sick. They were excellent physicians. Saint Pantaleimon was not only a physician, but the greatest physician in the city, the physician that every sick person wanted to go to, the only physician towards the end of his life that any of the sick in his city would go to. He was not only a physician, he was the best physician. And his work as a physician was a witness to God's glory. We sit and we survey the talents, the many talents, the many resources that the Lord has blessed us with as Orthodox Christians. And we must think, brothers and sisters, what is ministry? What does that look like from an Orthodox point of view? We must certainly feed the poor. We must certainly clothe the naked. We must certainly visit the sick. But we must consider how to most effectively do that. And so, in Pittsburgh, Orthodox Christians came together, not knowing exactly where we would go, but knowing that we were called to this ministry among the poor. We began to see how the Holy Spirit was bringing to light certain talents that he had blessed us with, certain passions and ideas, interests and ideas that he had blessed us with. We started to recognize that, and so there were a group of physicians and nurses in pharmacists who began to ask very seriously, how is it that we were called to minister to the poor? And in asking the question, they realized that they didn't have a lot of time. They had limited time. They realized that they could spend their time serving in soup kitchens, as they knew they were called to. But they also recognized that there was not a conflict between their work as physicians and their faith. When they realized that, they finally had the opportunity. They finally had the opportunity to live their professions as an expression of their faith. They were filled with new life. And they desired to establish a clinic in the Lord's name. A clinic in the Lord's name to offer free health care to the poor. They wanted to bring the icon of Saint Pantaleimon. They wanted to bring the icon of the Holy Unmercenaries to life as it is meant to be. And so there were the physicians, and there were the nurses, and there were the pharmacists who continued to work diligently to establish a volunteer in medicine, Orthodox Christian clinic. As a ministry of the church, they worked to establish this, but then there were others who came forward. Brian Albert, Father Paul's brother, he quickly realized that his gifts as a developer could assist the ministry greatly by seeing what we could do with certain facilities and how we could make the most of the space we have. He realized he could make connections with relationships he had already developed. He realized that he could move people to work on certain aspects of the project because of his experience. And he was no longer just a developer. He was a developer for Christ, an Orthodox Christian developer working for the ministry, working for the church. And he led many. And the Lord established us in the center of the Hill District. There was another. A young man who is in the final year, going into the final year of his residency, a psychiatrist, Dr. John Toomey. A young man, we are the same age. He's an Orthodox Christian and he practices psychiatry. And he had come to realize that as Orthodox Christians, from an Orthodox Christian perspective, we had different things to say about illnesses that he saw each and every day. He realized that there was a difference because of his faith, because of his life in the church, his sacramental life in the church, because of reading scripture and the writings of the saints. He realized that he had a different perspective than some other psychiatrists, that they were offering different treatments. And he realized that the treatments which expressed the values of the church, that expressed the values of Christ, that expressed the teachings of the gospel are what worked. He recognized that in his practice. And so, he obviously, being committed to the church, being committed to the ministry, he didn't know what it would mean for him to get involved, but he quickly realized that because of his gifts, because of his perspective, that he had an opportunity, yes, to serve food to the hungry and clothe the naked, yes, but even more, to minister to the mentally ill, to minister to the mentally ill as an Orthodox Christian psychiatrist. Finally, the opportunity to do it in the context of the church as an Orthodox Christian psychiatrist. He began to lead a team of social workers, Orthodox social workers and Orthodox psychologists, calling themselves the psychosocial ministry team. And out of their efforts and their conversation, they work to establish a behavioral health center for the uninsured, for those mentally ill who are roaming in the streets, those weak and weary who are lost and have no shepherd. Brothers and sisters, they are going to open that center on July the 27th, a day chosen because it is the feast of Saint Pantaleimon, and they know they must be true to the Orthodox faith by calling to their assistance the prayers of Saint Pantaleimon. All of these efforts, all of these ministries have a distinct character. We had a conversation about this community health and the ways in which we're trying to help people, not only with health, but also incorporating food and clothing and furniture and employment assistance and violence prevention, incorporating all these different aspects. We had this conversation with the National Quality Forum, which is a federal entity that oversees different efforts at community health, the community health and welfare across the nation. And in conversation, a conference call, they had a web seminar in which Dr. Toomey was present, and another Orthodox doctor, Dr. Rocco Adams, was present on this webinar, and they asked a few questions. There were maybe hundreds of people on this webinar, but Dr. Rocco asked a couple questions, and they realized there was something different about the perspective from which he was coming, so they set up a conference call to find out a little bit more about this Orthodox Christian ministry in the Hill District in Pittsburgh, a region that faces so many problems. So they have this conversation, this conference call. I was only able to hear the end, but this is what I heard. I heard a woman from the National Quality Forum, and she said, "This is extraordinary. We've never seen anything like this before. We had an idea that this perspective, a similar perspective, might be the most effective approach in dealing with community health, but no one has yet successfully implemented it. Where did we learn that perspective? In the pristine halls of academia, obviously, the riches of Pharaoh that Moses used, right? The Holy Fathers interpret as things we can learn in the world. The riches of Pharaoh, yes, we played a role. But where did we learn that perspective? We learned that perspective from the Orthodox Church. We were different in our approach because our approach was Orthodox. And people very quickly began to recognize that we were indeed different in our approach. There was a woman who came into our place one day. She came into our place one day because curiosity brought her in. And she came in and saw, sitting on the couch, a woman who lives on the street very near our place. She stopped in, actually, to say thank you. Thank you, she said. Yes, we had just gone through the prayers and the the works of the faithful, but about people who are not Orthodox and their role in establishing this ministry. So this woman stops in to say thank you. I just stopped in to say thank you, the woman says. Well, we didn't know what exactly she was thanking us for. I mean, it certainly could have been something that we did to help her or her family, but we didn't know. Hadn't recognized her. I was sure it was her first time through our doors, and yet she came in and she said, thank you. She came in and she said, thank you, because I used to drive down this street right in the 2200 block of Center Avenue where we are, and when I drove down this street, I saw this woman just sitting on the street corner, roaming aimlessly from steps to steps, sitting in front of the abandoned buildings in that block. She said, I just want to thank you because you have no idea how badly I prayed that the Lord would establish a ministry in this block for that woman who sits on your couch. We began to see how the difference in our approach, the difference in our perspective, also came together with the prayers of people who were suffering in these communities. And that when they encountered this ministry that they had been praying for, they recognized that it was of the Lord. That it was different than the other social services in the area. And they recognized that the difference was it was of the Lord. And that the work that Orthodox Christians had been doing by diligently trying to establish ministries from an Orthodox perspective were in response to the prayers of the suffering and brokenhearted. Now, I tell you that it can be very, very difficult. And we always desire to bring all of us together forward. Those who are suffering, those in our churches. Sometimes we're not always on the same page. We desire everyone to be. But we're not always at the same place at the same time. There were some who did not believe that this would work. There were some who didn't believe that the faithful would go into this community and do the work of the Lord from an Orthodox perspective. There are some who didn't believe that Orthodoxy would resonate in the hearts of a predominantly Baptist community, though many people there this day are unchurched. They didn't believe those things. Faith is not only believing that God exists, it is believing that He is actively working in this world, in our lives, for our salvation. There are many who believed that God exists, but they did not believe that His hand was upon this ministry, even though we could see many signs that it truly was. And so, we didn't engage the negativity. We didn't engage the naysayers. When they said no, they said no. When we recalled the words that the Lord gave us, if they do not hear you, shake the dust from your feet. And we held steady. We had faith that the Lord would provide, no matter how many said this will never work. We had faith that the Lord would provide. And we shook the dust from our feet and moved forward. Now, the other challenging thing about having an Orthodox ministry amidst the urban problems that are in our communities is that the gospel is radically different from the wisdom of the streets. And we have to be very honest about that. The gospel is radically different from the wisdom of these streets. The wisdom of God is different from the fallen wisdom of men. This we know brothers and sisters, but if we establish an Orthodox Christian ministry, we will most certainly encounter these differences. We will most certainly encounter these differences. But when we do, we must maintain our commitment to the gospel, especially to those who do not believe it is possible. And when we confront those people, we call to mind the lives of the saints who were truly transfigured in Christ, who are examples to us of what is possible. You know, I often think of athletes running a marathon. I know that I am not able to run a marathon. Today, I have not trained for it. I know that there are many of us who are unable to run marathons. And yet, because we cannot run marathons, we mustn't say that it is impossible to run a marathon. There are many people who are unable to run marathons. And because they are unable to run a marathon, where they are today in their life, because they are unable to run a marathon, they say that no one is able to run a marathon. And brothers and sisters, that is pride. And this we encounter on the streets each and every day. Love your enemies. And some will say, in days of old, it was maybe possible to do that, but this is the year 2012. It is no longer possible to do that, because where they are in their lives right then and there, they are unable to. But we know that we must maintain a radical commitment to the gospel and proclaim a gospel of repentance, a gospel of love, even when confronted with the fallen wisdom of the world, which teaches us that we cannot forgive and forget, that we cannot love each and every one that comes our way. We know that we can, and that by God's grace, all things are possible. There was a man who, just yesterday, came into my office. He came in. He didn't ask if he could come in. He came in. And he sat down. After he sat down, he asked, "Do you mind if I sit here a spell?" Of course, I said no. And so he began to ask questions about the perspective that we had, because he had come to notice that when confronting the urban challenges that we confronted each and every day, we said a certain word a lot. We said love a great deal. And that baffled him. How do you say this if you want to relate to these people? Love. That's not what governs the streets, he tells me. Love. So I told him a story about a monk who bore a very strong witness in love, and through his strong witness of love to his enemies, converted them to Christ. He listened. It was a rather impressive witness, I believed. But his response was, "That was years ago. That was years ago. And he was a monk. And these people out here are not monks. That was years ago." And that is why, brothers and sisters, we are called to establish a new witness in our day. The same Holy Spirit that moved through that monk to convert his enemies is the same Holy Spirit who will move through us to convert our enemies. The same. So I said, "Let me give you a new story." Some months ago, we received a brand new shipment of computers from Hewlett-Packard. Two of the computers were laptops. I had some reservations initially about taking laptops, as I knew they were easier to conceal than computers. But we received two laptops, and within the first week, both of the laptops were stolen. Now, by this time, there was so much love in the community for the ministry. that people heard about it, and right away, the community went to work. And within 48 hours, we had one laptop in our possession, and the second laptop, having been bought by an Israeli pawn shop, was on its way to Jerusalem. After the pawn shop owner was confronted with a van full of angry African-American women from the Hill District, decided to have it shipped back and returned to us. And so, a couple weeks later, we had both laptops, but there were two young men. There were two young men who stole those laptops. We knew who they were. So the people wondered, you know, these Orthodox Christians who preach this gospel of love, well, here is their opportunity to live what they preach. What will they do? The people wondered. Obviously, many people thought maybe they'll press charges. But those who had come to know us most intimately knew that just as we preached, that is how we would respond, by loving them. We found out who the two young men were. And so, with the help of the community, had them brought through the doors. They had been there before. They were familiar with us, and so they were comfortable in coming through the doors. And so they came through yet again. The first one came through. And we started by the words, "I love you." We had a conversation about what had happened. And the young man said that he realized he was living his life the wrong way, that maybe things should change. And we had this conversation. And at the end, we hugged and we said, "I love you." Just yesterday, the young man came back. And he said to me, "Mr. Paul, I came back to let you know that I'm trying to change my life. I have one job, doesn't pay enough, so I applied for a second job. I'm on a list to get some decent housing. I'm staying out of the community with a safe friend. I'm working to change my life around. And I came just to be here with you all today." The second came in this past Saturday. I was very curious what his response would be. So he asked if we could have a conversation. And so we went upstairs in the office, we closed the door, and he began to speak about how sorry he was. And so he spoke, and we responded with the words, "I love you." And he began to cry. He began to cry, and tears rolled down his face. Violently, he began to cry, and he said in so many words, "I want to be good, but I don't know how. Who can show me how to be good?" I said to the young man, "The church. The church can show you how to be good." He said, "Can we make some appointments to work on that, on what that really means?" "Yes," I said. And he excitedly gave me his phone number. We ended with prayer, and we hugged. We said, "I love you." There are many who say those stories are ancient tales from our past, but we are called to give a witness in our day so that no one like this man who came in yesterday can sit there and say, it is not possible to transform someone's life by the love of Christ Jesus. And we must proclaim that gospel as soldiers committed to the fight. And even in today's gospel reading, the Lord said, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. We must be soldiers and proclaim this gospel, a gospel of love and repentance, because people want to be good, and they need to know how to be good, and that is what the church can do. Finally, there are a group of women. Continuing with this theme, I want to be good. There was a group of women who have come to call our ministry their home. In fact, they refer to it as the house. The house. Focus Pittsburgh house. The house. That's how they refer to it, this ministry, where they have experienced the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. And they have said it in those words, the house. These women who were sitting down and having these conversations with one another and coming together and help one another with the problems that they have. And they came to acknowledge that they are facing mutual challenges, that they are struggling with addiction, that they have sons in jail, that they have been raped, that they have been abandoned by men, forced to raise their children on their own. They have depression. They have anxiety. They have low self-esteem. And so they said, they came to me and they said, we want to have a woman's group. We want to have a woman's group. And we want to have it here. And so the conversation continued. Well, since these ladies, none of them being Orthodox, but coming to be quite familiar with it. In fact, a couple weeks ago, we went out to Antiochian Village for the Brotherhood of St. Moses the Black conference, and there were 28 people who came with me from the Hill District to learn about Orthodoxy. Things they said were very profound. We have 2-3 reader services there each week, every Monday, Friday, and Saturday. There's a Bible study every Wednesday where we teach the faith. They're familiar. And so they said, we are establishing this group here, but we want to be true to this ministry. We want to be true to its Orthodox Christian foundation. Help us. Help us. How should we go about it? So I said, well, let's talk. What is the goal? What is the goal of the problems that you're addressing? Addiction and low self-esteem, in dealing with memories of rape, having sons in jail, abandonment by men. What is the solution that you seek to these problems? And so this conversation began and persisted, and these women began to talk. How should we successfully address these problems? What is it that we need in our lives? And so they began to talk, and they began to share and pour their hearts, and they began to formulate ideas. And at the end of it all, this is what they said. They said, the goal. What is the goal of this group? The goal. We think the goal is holiness. Holiness. They chose as their patron Saint Mary of Egypt because they can relate to her story. And in her life, they see the new beginnings truly are possible. And so they begin. They begin their meetings in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They begin with, oh, Heavenly King, O Comforter. They end with the prayer before we commence any task. They bring scripture to me and they say, help us so that we can speak on this from an Orthodox perspective. They started the group by reading the life of Saint Mary of Egypt. because they understand that the goal to end their suffering is holiness. And they understand that there's something in this ministry that offers them the opportunity to seek holiness. There are many problems facing our urban communities, brothers and sisters. There are many problems. We know that we are called to address those problems, but we must also remember that we are called to address those problems in an orthodox way. And as we come forward and we begin to establish these ministries, we must always trust the way that the Spirit guides us and leads us. We must always be open to the lessons He puts before us. We must immerse ourselves in the spiritual life of the church. We must read Scripture. We must read the writings of the saints. We must prepare ourselves for war. And then we go forward and we pray. But after we pray, we always say, we pray and then we look for the Lord's mercy. It is truly an honor to be with you this weekend. I am so inspired by everything that you all are doing here. In my humility, I can see that the Holy Spirit is clearly building something here, and it excites me very much. I look forward to learning from all of you, and I look forward to growing with all of you in the Lord. And we celebrate the fact that in this ministry, though we are separated by geography, in this ministry, in the church, where there is no distance, we will minister as Orthodox Christians so that we may give glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, together with His unoriginate Father, and His all-holy and good and life-giving Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen. Thank you.